I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. In these four verses we've been reading, the psalmist is outlining to us something pertaining to danger, dangers that we face in this life. Now from verse 5 to verse 9, he's going to speak of deliverance. Verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now verses 10 to 14 speaks of devotion. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Now from verses 15 to the end, it's a passage dealing with delights. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bond. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we need thee at all times, night and day, every day of our life. But oh, we would beseech thee at this time that thou wilt make thy presence very real to us. And may we sense the power of thy Holy Spirit in our midst. May the very hush of eternity fall upon us. May each of us have a time of heart searching. May we hear thy word speak to us today, and above and beyond all else, we ask of thee, O God, that the Savior may be exalted through some poor, struggling soul coming to his feet and accepting him today as Savior and Lord. Hear us in these things for his own blessed name's sake. Amen. Now what we have read to you is interesting throughout the whole psalm. But I want specially to pinpoint what is said, verse 12 and verse 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me. That's a strange thing. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And then to answer it, he says, this is what I'll do. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Now the psalmist is saying this. There have been many benefits that the Lord has showered upon me. Suppose we were to take time sitting at home. You took down your writing pad or your notebook. And you wrote across the top, the benefits of the Lord to me. I wonder how many benefits you could write down. Number them, 1, 2, 3, 4, write down. And see how many benefits you could write down. Perhaps some could say, well, I have this benefit, I'm alive today. Thank him for life. Thank him for strength, for health. I've enjoyed my food today. I can thank the Lord for the benefits of a good supply of food. Some folk don't seem to think that's a benefit. But I tell you this, if you read and see what's going on in other parts of the world, the starvation because of war, etc., etc., and the conditions under which some people are living, it makes you thankful that you've got at least a house to live in. Thousands of people, we had this just yesterday, a missionary report from over in Africa. Hundreds and hundreds of people, and the dry season has been on them, and they've just been living outside. And now he says the rainy season is coming on, what are they going to do? You may be able to sleep outside on a nice warm night. It's dry, even if there are a few bugs flying around. But what are you going to do if the rain comes down, torrential showers? Sometimes when it comes on rain here at night and you hear it on the roof, I'm thankful I'm in my bed and in the shelter. Some of the men who were at camp, you know, during the time they were in the army, there were some that had to sleep in tents where the ground was damp, and they never regained their strength from it. Well, what about those benefits the Lord has showered upon us? In this country, you know, we have been the recipients of many, many blessings, benefits that people don't have in other parts of the world. And perhaps we just grow up and take these things for granted. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? How many benefits could you write down? Just think them over quickly now. Some of the things for which you can thank the Lord. Then he says, now if that's what the Lord has done for me, what shall I render unto the Lord for all those benefits? What should be my response? How should I answer, as it were, to the Lord for the benefits he has bestowed upon me? Now, when you think of that, naturally there comes to your mind the thought of, well, someone's been good to me, they've done something for me, so I'm going to do something for them in return. And you're going to give them something back in return, to show your appreciation for what they have done. Well, he's saying, what shall I do? What shall I render? What shall I give to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? And isn't this strange? He says, I will take. Oh. He's not saying, I will give. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. It seems to pinpoint one of the benefits. This benefit, I think, outshines all others. Can you think of the Lord offering to you and me a cup of salvation. Doesn't that seem very simple? As I often say, you don't require a university education to understand the teaching of the Word of God. Some folk think you do, but you don't. Even a child understands if a mother offers the child a cup with something in it, a child seems to know to take that before it can speak. You know that. It knows to put that thing in its mouth and is getting what the mother has offered, or the father. Some men are very domesticated. They know what to do. I could never fill up one of those bottles somewhere or other. I would put the wrong stuff in. But you give the child something, the child takes it. It's a need. When you sit down at the table, nobody needs to tell you that if that water's to do you any good, you don't sit and look at it and try to analyze it and give a speech about it. All you do is take it. It's simple, isn't it? He says, I will take the cup of salvation. But before the Lord Jesus Christ could offer the cup of salvation to us, before that benefit could be put within our reach, Christ himself had to take a cup of sorrow. The night before he was crucified, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he drank, as it were, to its bitter dregs, the cup of sorrow, pouring forth his soul, the sweat like drops of blood falling to the ground, being in an agony of soul, knowing that the next morning at 9 o'clock, he'd be nailed to a Roman cross to suffer the agonies of such a death. Not because he had sinned, for he never sinned. He was the sinless Savior. But he was taking the guilty sinner's place, bearing the sin of our apostate race on his own body on the shameful tree. He drank that cup of bitter sorrow, in order that you and I should be given the cup of salvation. See, if Christ had never died on the cross, there would have been no salvation. When he was born, they said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But the only way he could provide salvation was by going to Calvary. Suppose when he left Galilee in the north, and was wending his way down towards Jerusalem, and he was telling his disciples what would happen there, and one of them says, oh no, Lord, not for you. Be it far from me, Lord. Be it far from me. Suppose he had listened to that disciple. Suppose he said, yes, you're right, I don't need to die. I'll just go back to the glory. If he had gone back to the glory and never gone to Calvary, there would be no salvation. We were not saved, and we cannot be saved by the birth of Christ. His birth at Bethlehem was only the first step towards Calvary. Suppose he had lived an absolute sinless life, which he did, and the Father's voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Suppose then he had gone back to the glory. There'd be no salvation. It was absolutely necessary for salvation to be offered to poor guilty sinners that Christ must first of all go to Calvary. And so when we speak here of taking the words from the psalm, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation, the cup of salvation. You see, after all, salvation's a wonderful thing. It's deliverance. We need to be saved. If a man or a woman doesn't get saved, then it means they're lost. And if they die without being saved, they'll be lost for all eternity. How important a thing it is then that men and women should know and understand that they need to get saved. Now there are certain benefits in salvation. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, he says that 4 times in this psalm. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Here's a man who has learned what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, while the Lord was here on earth, in his public ministry, there was a great number of people called upon him. I read of a poor blind fellow who lived down in Jericho. And when he heard that the Lord was passing by, he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he cried it loud enough for the Lord to hear him. It wasn't a whisper. And the people said, now you keep quiet. Just shut up. Sit where you are in all your rags and tatters. Nobody's interested in you. He cried so much the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord heard him. The Lord has never yet turned a deaf ear to the cry of a needy soul. He never will. He stopped and responded to the blind man. 10 men who were suffering from leprosy, they stood afar off and they lifted up their voice and they cried, have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. They had already received justice. Justice says, get out of the town, go out to the leper colony, stay there. They knew what justice was. It wasn't justice they wanted, it was mercy. And they cried for mercy. They called upon the name of the Lord. My friend, I wonder, may I ask you today, can you remember ever calling upon the name of the Lord? Were you ever in a fix, in a dangerous place? Were you ever in that condition of soul where you realized that the Lord and the Lord alone could help you, and you turned in all your need and called upon the name of the Lord? Have you ever done that? Has there ever been a time when you've got down on your knees and called upon the Lord for salvation? Lord, save me! What are the benefits? May I suggest this to you, there are a great number of benefits in being saved. If you're not saved, you don't understand these benefits. Perhaps you've been searching for them. Here's benefit number one. It's an enjoyed peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, let me ask you, did you have peace with God? Did you know anything about the benefit of being at peace with God? That's reconciliation, reconciled to God, enjoying the peace of God. There's one great benefit of salvation. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know, I often wonder how people do at night when the day is finished and the quietness of the evening hours comes on and it's time to retire. Let me ask you, my friend, before you retire, can you go down on your knees and thank God for the peace that comes into the soul when you know you're right with God? Do you speak to God before you go to rest? Or is it possible you don't know Him? Oh, you know about Him, all right. You've heard the preacher again and again speaking. You've heard things said from the Bible. And you know things about God, but do you know Him? And do you know the peace that comes through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? That's one of the benefits. You enjoy peace with God. Not only so, not only peace, but you have an eternal possession. Listen to what the Lord Himself said. He that heareth my word and believeth Him that sent me hath, H-A-T-H, a simple little word of four letters, hath everlasting life. I asked a young fellow one day who came to my door, one of those cultists that was going round, you know, wanted to tell me something about the Bible. I says, tell me something about this simple little verse, will you? He that heareth my word and believeth in Him that sent me hath. I says, what does that word mean? H-A-T-H, hath. He says, I don't know. I says, how old are you? He says, I'm 17. I says, are you in the high school? He says, yes. And you don't know the meaning of that simple little English word, hath? He says, no. I says, I'm sorry for you. Sorry for you. Your education's been sadly neglected. Hath means in possession of. It's yours. You have it. Simple enough. Of course, I think he was lying to me. He did know the meaning of it, but didn't want to admit it. Ha! In possession of everlasting life. Here is an eternal possession that you can never lose. If you could lose it, it wouldn't be done. Yeah, ha! Ha! Everlasting life. Oh, you see, my friend, here's one of the benefits of knowing the Savior. One of the benefits of being saved. I will take the cup of salvation and I'll be at peace with God. I'll take the cup of salvation and I'll have this salvation as my possession. I'll be in possession of eternal life and can never perish. Pass from death unto life. Do you have that benefit? Listen to this. I give unto my sheep eternal life and they'll never perish, so said the Lord. I give unto them eternal life. That's right. No man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all, and none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, it's a safe position. It's established. The Lord says He gives unto His sheep this life. He keeps them in the hollow of His hand. And His Father's hand overshadows. It's a double protection. And there you are in that happy position established between you and the Savior. I will take the cup of salvation. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because in calling upon the name of the Lord and taking the cup of salvation, I'm at peace with God. I can go to bed at night, lay my head down the pillow. No matter what happens, I'm right with God. You know, you used to teach the children a little prayer. I don't know whether you think it's right or wrong, but I used to think of what these little children used to say. This night, ere I lie down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Should I die before I wake, take me to heaven for Jesus' sake. Amen. But you know there's something solid about that. And they go to sleep in peace. I often wonder if we can do that. I knew of an old man, he was a great preacher too. He was a bachelor, that's the only thing I disagreed with him. He never got married, but he used to say that every night before he went to bed, he used to go to the window and pull the drapes aside and look out. If the moon was shining, he would look at the moon or the stars. He'd say, "Well, Lord, I'm going to bed. If you should come before the morning, I'll see you in heaven." And when he got up in the morning, the first thing, he went to the shades again and pulled them. "Another day, Lord. Perhaps you'll come today, and I'll be in heaven with you." His last thought at night is going to be with the Lord. It might be his last night. First thing in the morning, might be my last day. But if you don't know the Savior, you can't act like that. You don't have that peace. You don't know. But you see, here's the benefits of salvation. Enjoying peace with God. Having an eternal possession, eternal life. Having an established position in the hollow of his hand. And having an expected person, John 14. "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." How does it appeal to you, my friend? Do you think this old world is just going on as it has always done? See, I read in the Bible about people that say that. Where is the sign of his coming? Aren't things just the same today as they were last year and last century? No, they're not. This old world at the present time is like a train. It's going down the incline. The brakes have failed. And the engineer can't stop it. The men in control can't stop it. They haven't got the answer. We're rushing on to destruction. God alone has the answer. There's not a ruler in the world today has the answer for the world's problems. And there's not a man in this country can give us the answer for our problems. And we have a lot of them. But up there in the glory, there's a man has the answer. The man that died to provide salvation. He's gone back to the glory and he promised he'll come again. And he is coming. He could come any day. And when he comes, the day of salvation will close. But oh, if you've taken the cup of salvation, if you've trusted the Lord as your Savior, you're expecting that person. And he could come any day. Some folks who didn't believe that used to call me an any momentite. I said, "Yeah, I'm quite happy to be called that. That's what I am. I'm an any momentite. I believe the Lord could come at any moment. And we're waiting for him. The trumpet may sound any day now. And what a joyful day that will be." If you're saved, if you know the Savior, you're ready. But by the way, suppose you don't know the Savior. Huh? What about these others that's related to you that we know the Savior? Suppose you got up some morning and your husband's gone. Not that he's left you, that's not it. He's gone to be with the Savior. You have been left. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? But what a blessing if you both go together. Or if your partner is there before you and you're going to see him when you get there. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, my friend, the Lord is coming. If you know the Savior, you're expecting this person. But he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, a place." We're not just going to be floating around, you know, like angels without wings or something. He's gone to prepare a place for us. In the beginning, he prepared a place for Adam, and it must have been a beautiful place. A beautiful place in Eden. But sin came in and destroyed that. But the Lord has gone to prepare a place for those that love him. And he's promised he'll come again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. And I suggest to you that that place is far beyond the greatest imagination of any person down here. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, my friend, there are some beautiful places in this world, some beautiful sights. When I go to a place where there are special gardens, I like to go in and see those gardens. There's a few of them in this country and a few of them in other countries. I love to see gardens where there are beautiful flowers and things well kept. But these are nothing compared to what we're going to see when we go there to the place he's prepared for us. When he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, it wasn't to leave them in a wilderness. It was to take them into a promised land flowing with milk and honey. Bundles of grapes. And if he saved us from hell, it's not to leave us down in this wilderness here. It's to take us to a better place. A place prepared for those that love him. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? The benefit of peace. The benefit of a possession. The benefit of a position. The benefit of expecting a person, the person that died for us. The benefit of enjoying the place that's been prepared. May I ask you again, my friend, do you know the Savior? Has there ever been a time in your experience when you've thought of the little idea of the cup? And the Lord is saying, now, my dear sinner friend, I'll offer you the cup of salvation. With all the benefits that go with it, are you prepared to acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of salvation? See, it's only sinners that get saved. That's all, sinners. If you're not a sinner, my friend, there's no salvation for you. But if you try to imagine yourself that you're not a sinner, you have never read this book. Because right here it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where God places us. So we accept God's verdict. God says, I am a sinner. But he says also, I've provided salvation for you. Will you take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord? My friend, don't you see what you're missing? Don't you see what you're letting slip past? If you don't enjoy these things, you've never trusted the Savior. Will you trust him this morning? Will you? Will this be the day in your experience when you'll say, I give in? Yes, I need a Savior, I need salvation, and I'm willing to trust him now. I'm not going to leave my seat in this place today until I have this thing settled between my soul and my God. Will you, my friend? Take your hymn books. Turn up to this good old hymn number 207. 207. Look at the first verse. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Have you ever had that happy day, or have you not? Why not make it today? Wouldn't it be wonderful if this was the happy day in your experience? Well, may this glowing heart rejoice, tell its raptures all abroad. Now look at verse 3. It is done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. And some of us, perhaps you're saying, but Mr. McNeil, how do I make this great transaction? Have I got to come and walk up to you and shake your hand? Or have I got to say anything to this audience? Friend, just where you are, this is a transaction between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. While we sing this hymn, you could make that great transaction just where you are. You could bow your head right there and say, Lord, that's it. I'll trust you now. It's done. And if you trust the Savior, you'll know it. And if you don't trust him, you know it. It is done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on. Chant to confess the voice divine. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. And before we do, let us bow for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that salvation has been provided, that there's a Savior in the glory who's both able and willing to save. And, O God, thou canst read all our hearts. Thou knowest every one in here who has never trusted a Savior. God grant that this may be the day when a fresh trophy will be laid at the Savior's feet, and we'll all rejoice and give thee the glory. We ask in his precious name. Amen. Brother Hamilton is going to lead us in the singing of those two verses, after which the service is entirely over.